Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? Amen. Is Esperance in here? I might use you for a little bit of a second. I'm just talking a little bit. I just wanted to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And thank you, worship. That was awesome. I was wondering if that one song was for Hernandez, bro. Was that song the one about that radical love going anywhere and everywhere, bro? Come on, man. You know it. He ain't quitting. You ain't quitting. He's got a wonderful plan for your life, I can tell you right now. So let's give the Lord a hand clap for the Hernandez. Thank you so much for coming today. Love you guys. Don't let the devil lie to you. Doesn't matter how far you go, God loves you. We love you. Amen. So I just wanted to say that we're going to be talking about prayer today. We talked about prayer before, and I'm excited about the National Day of Prayer, May 3rd. We'll be over there in the chapel. We're going to pray three times that day. It's going to be awesome. Not only are we praying, but we invited all the churches that rent from us. We invited the two Latino churches, African American church, and the Islanders church. So it should be a very exciting prayer time. Amen. So I'm excited for that. And just talking about prayer and thinking about prayer, because when we pray and as we increase our prayer, because I believe God's going to have us increase our prayer, and we can't do it just because you feel guilty. Has anybody felt guilty about not praying before? Okay, a couple honest hands. I think, you know, and God doesn't want us to pray because we feel guilty. God wants us to pray because He is our resource. He is our life. He is everything good and everything awesome. And He loves for us to call upon His name. Jesus demonstrated it throughout His whole life. But I was thinking about prayer, and just one of the things I was thinking about when my wife and I went to Michigan with a bunch of other people. Actually, the Oregon team was the most representative of all the states. Go Oregon. And we were there because we're hungry for prayer. I mean, my schedule was very busy, but I said, you know what? We need to be there. And there was over 300 people there and over 200 pastors there seeking God, crying out to the Lord. And so when we were there, we did our regular services, and they were just powerful speakers about prayer, about revival, about the church. And then they had these breakout sessions, and my wife and I decided that, hey, what we're going to do is she's going to go to one and I'm going to go to one. And might as well get your money's worth, right? Go all the way. She get what the information, I get information, we'll work together. Well, while I was in the one breakout session, this one man was sitting next to me, and me and him just connected. It was just like, man, I felt like just a kindred spirit. Things were going really well. I told him about my wife as an intercessor, and he goes, I want to meet your wife. She's an intercessor. I want to meet her. And I said, okay, that's cool. And then find out that my wife is sitting next to a lady, and this lady is the wife of the man that I was talking to, and they connected. So when we got in the sanctuary, we were like, your husband and wife? We're husband and wife? What in the world is this? Could be God. And so we just, and what was amazing about it is that they said, we have a daughter that lives in McMinnville, works in McMinnville, and we're going to tell them about your church. Come on. And Esperance is the daughter, and she's been coming to our church faithfully for the 2 months. And so let's give the Lord a hand for Esperance. And she's lived in Kenya. She speaks Swahili, which I only know one word in Swahili. My friend taught me this weekend. Baraka on the family, right? Blessings. That's one word I got, baraka. How many wants a baraka today? Want a blessing? Amen, amen. So, but I wanted Esperance to come up here because what happened is that through the process, Brother Brandon Detweiler talked about these families, and we connected with these families, and we have some families that are straight from the Congos in Africa. They speak Swahili. They're not understanding most of the stuff we're saying. And we have a few of them here today. We have two families here from the Congos because we had a prayer meeting in Michigan, met together with some people, gathered together and connected, and this all comes about. Look at God. Come on. Now, here's the thing is that they are from a different nation. They don't speak English that well yet, but I guarantee you they'll get it. But what it is that imagine going from your country to another country and you go through the changes that is there. But in the process of that time, this brother right here, guess what church he went to in the Congos? A Free Methodist church. Come on now. What's up with that? He went to a Free Methodist church and his mother said, I want you to go to a Free Methodist church in America. Did she say that? Your mother said she wants you to go to a Free Methodist church? And so he ends up connecting here. And so through a prayer of a mother over in the Congos, he's now sitting here with his family today. Come on now. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. So what I want Esperance to do, because I know that they're not going to understand all this service, but I want to do a special greeting. If you come up here with the mic, and we're going to do a special greeting for them. If you could get this mic. You want, huh? Uh-oh. Give you a warning? No, you're like your dad, instant in season. So.
Yes.
And she's a prayer warrior, too, which I really appreciate. But all I wanted to for her to do is that for the people of the Congo.
Anataka kuambia message, so mimi kazi yangu itakuwa tu ni kutranslate niwaambie vile anasema.
Here at Salem First Free Methodist Church.
Anasema hapa kwenye Salem First Free Methodist Church.
We are very honored.
Tuko na furaha.
To have you here today.
Vile umekuja hapa katika kanisa letu.
We thank God for your lives.
Tunashukuru Mungu kwa maisha yenu.
And we pray that we could be a blessing to you.
Na tunaomba ili sisi wa hapa kanisani tuwe baraka kwenu.
Not only today and Sunday.
Si Sunday peke yake ama leo tu.
But throughout this course of this journey.
Lakini katika maisha yenu hapa mtakuwa America ile njia mnapita.
Welcome to America.
Karibuni America.
And welcome to our church.
Na karibuni katika kanisa letu.
And God bless you.
Na Mungu awabariki sana.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And just to give you a quick history about our guests, so they, you know, there's been lots of conflict in the continent, and so they had been living in the refugee camp for over 7 years. And so part of what that happens is that when there's conflict and there's not possibility to go back home, the UNHCR does some projects to help resettle people. And so they're coming to us as refugees who are really rebuilding their lives. And so it is such a hard space to be in. But thank you that you can welcome them. And thank you for the love that you will give all of us as we serve each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Esperance. Bless you, John. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God never ceased to amaze me. When we were talking about prayer last week, we talked about how that we have an access to a resource that is unlimited. God doesn't run out. God never runs out. He has power. He has love. He has mercy, he has finances, he has destiny, he has purpose. He never runs out. It's amazing because every single one of us in the whole world could pray and God hears every one of our prayers. Woo! What kind of God do we serve? I'll tell you what kind of God. He's off the chain God. He's a cool God. He's an awesome God. And I believe as we cry out to God, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he will exalt you in due season. But we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to say, we need you, Jesus. Is that all right? Is it all right to need Jesus? And I know that he loves to hear our cry. He loves to hear our cry. Let's go. The first thing we need to do is ask. James says, we have not because we got to ask. Jesus said, we got to ask. We got to ask God, talk to him on a regular basis, not just in the morning, the 5 minutes, but the Bible also says, pray without ceasing. How are you going to do that? Well, you could have your mind upon God. You could be thinking about God. You could be thinking about the purpose of God. You could communicate with God. You don't have to have a big old long prayer all the time. I believe long prayers are cool. I believe fasting is good. I believe crying and weeping before God is good. I believe laughing before God. I believe clapping before God. I believe dancing before God is part of prayer. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to be like, oh, no, I got to go pray. Here, let me give him his 5 minutes. You know, I had a friend tell me a while back. He said that the statistics showed that ministers in America, I'm sure not in the Congos, not in a place where their life is on hand, because they're persecuted for being a Christian. People are dying for being a Christian. I guarantee you, they're not worried about a 5-minute prayer life. They're worried about being connected, abiding, his word abiding, his life abiding in them. But this friend told me, he said that ministers pray on the average 5 minutes a day. Now you'd be like, man, that's more than I do. Well, that ain't good. That ain't good. And so that something rose up in me. You know, I talked a couple weeks ago about it. Something rose up on me. I wasn't violent or crazy, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and pray at least an hour a day, and I'm going to do an hour and 5 minutes. This is for the preachers that ain't praying. This is for the Christian leaders that go about and do their studies and do their things and don't call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to do it. And if you do that, and I'm not faithful every day. Sometimes I'll pray an hour a day. Sometimes I'll pray 2 hours. Sometimes I'll pray 3 hours. Sometimes grace of God will be on you. You never know how long you're going to pray. Sometimes I might miss prayer. Like, what? Yep. But it ain't about hours. It ain't about minutes. It's about connecting with the God of the universe. It's about having fellowship with the Almighty One. And so, let's go to the next. Ask. Broke it down in a little bit of an acronym. If you ask, not only you ask, in that word ask, we can ask, seek, and knock. All in that one word. God wants us to be aggressive to asking, to seeking, and to knocking on his door. Okay, next slide. This is where Jesus, he was praying. You know, the thing is, Jesus prayed. If Jesus, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb, the perfect one, born of a virgin, had a prayer life, guess what? We should have one. What do you think? I mean, if God himself was praying, they'd be like, where's Jesus? It's so early. It's still dark. He's up there where he's always going. He goes to a certain place, and he's praying. He's seeking for the will of God. He's not only praying so he could help the disciples and fulfill his journey, but he wanted to connect with the Heavenly Father. And he was praying in a certain place, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. I think it's interesting that he said, teach us to pray. He didn't say teach us how to pray, did he? What did it say there? Teach us to pray. And he said, yes, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Next verse. And Jesus said, how you should pray, Father, and he gave the Our Father. And that's what, from that verse, it extended into a process of prayer. The first thing he talked about is the Our Father, which we all know. Most of us know it. We said it yesterday in our meeting with the superintendent. We closed out with the Lord's Prayer. which is good. It's awesome. But it's more than just saying some words like that. It's more about going on to a relationship, a fervent towards God. Next verse. Jesus said this, ask and it will be given to you. Wow. You mean if we really ask for something, God's going to do it? That's a noble thought, isn't it? If we ask, he's going to do it. He says, knock, seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. That's the ask. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Next one. Now, when those words, if you look it up in the Greek and in different translations, it says, they that ask and keep on asking, they shall get the answer. They that seek and keep on seeking, they shall find. They that knock and keep on knocking, the door will be open. This is Matthew Henry. He said this is for the word of the continuation of, he said, ask, seek, and knock. That is one word. Pray often, pray with sincerity, pray seriousness, pray and pray again, make conscience of prayer and be constant in it, make it a business of prayer, and to be earnest in it, ask as a beggar would ask for alms. Look, if you're hungry, you're going to be asking for something. God wants us to ask. He wants us to continue to do that. Hallelujah. Next verse. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open, if we do it in a continuous way. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I'm a man of faith, so I'm only going to ask him once. And then if it don't happen, that means it wasn't God's will. I don't believe that. Jesus didn't, when he was in the garden, he prayed 3 times. If it be possible, take this cup from me. Paul, when he had his thorn, he prayed several times. God, take this thorn. And guess what? Sometimes God does answer. Guess what he says? No. He'll answer you. He'll make a way one way or another. One day he's going to answer us, but it isn't always the way we want it. But God wants us to ask, seek, and knock. Next one. Jesus said this, which one of you, after he's talking about the asking and the persistence, he said, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Any parents in here? Now, when your kid asks you for some bread, you might want to give him a stone, but you would never do that, would you? I mean, Jesus is like, man, come on, man. No father, no mother, when somebody asks for some bread, is going to give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake or something that's going to harm him? Would he? The question is, would he do that? Everybody go, no. No, he won't do that. Next verse. If you then, though you are evil, and Jesus compares any person, all of us are evil compared to God. Can we get an agreement on that? If we compare our lifestyle, I don't care how holy you walk and how righteous you are, but next to God, we look evil. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give those good gifts to those who ask? In other words, it's automatic. Of course they're not going to give them a stone. Of course they're going to give them bread. Of course they're not going to give them a snake. They're going to give them a fish. Of course. It's such an obvious answer. He says, if we're being human beings, know how to do good to our family, how much more will God give to us? Hallelujah, if we ask, if we seek, if we make a quest towards it. I know that my kids, when they were little, I probably said this story before, but when my kids were little and they were trying to open the mayonnaise jar, anybody have trouble opening a mayonnaise jar? You just can't open it. You're like, they're hitting it on the table. They're putting hot water on it. Some put a little butter knife on it, and they can't open it. And I walk in the door, and they said, oh, Dad's home. He could open that jar. I go in there, I take that jar, and I pretend like it ain't hard. Pop that jar open, they're like, that's my dad. He likes doing things for me. All I had to do was ask. God's the same way. You might be in a rough spot. You might be in a place where you just can't get it open. You can't get that door open. You can't get that job you're looking for. You can't get to the place where you need to be. All you got to do is ask Pops, ask Heavenly Father, and He wants to pop that jar open and say, yeah, I can do it for you. Hallelujah. God wants to. He longs to meet our needs, and He loves for us to acknowledge Him in it. Next verse. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See that word ask? You know, wisdom, you know, not all of us are like Solomon. He got it overnight, didn't he? He asked for God and God gave him a bunch of wisdom. But I don't know about you, I got to ask for wisdom almost every day. I remember when I was going to bring my tools today, but I couldn't find them. I went into my the storage and I couldn't find them, but I was a steel fabricator when I was in New York, but I had four kids, and then on the fifth kid and the sixth kid, I was like, Lord, this job's good, but I need more money. Can you make me a plaster? Or give me another job. And a friend of mine said, I'll make you a plaster. And so he gave me this. I went to the union, and I was like, became a plaster. And I don't know if you know what a plaster is. They hold a hock that's a little bit smaller than this, and they throw mud on it, and they flip it and put it with the trowel and put it on the wall like that. Well, when I first did that, guess where the mud was going? Man, the people come, they'd be laughing at me like, did you get any on the wall? So, I mean, especially if you work with just lime and cement, the old school mud, it's even slipperier. And just, it seemed like I could not get it done. And I just started praying. I said, Lord, you gave me this job. They're going to fire me. I keep on ruining all the money. The food is going all over the place. But I kept praying every corner, every trowel, every hockful. I started praying and praying and praying. And before you know it, I started, not bad, God, thank you. Now I'm on soffits, Lord. Can you help me? But everything, ask for wisdom on God. And eventually, I became not only a plaster, but I became a journeyman, and I became a foreman, and I was a foreman for years, and then I opened my own company, and I'm telling people how to do that. When I first started, I thought there's no way I could do it. But guess what? If any man lack wisdom, if any woman lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask of God, and He'll give you the ability to maneuver through life the way you need to. But we have to ask in faith. We have to be persistent. We have to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, because sometimes it doesn't come overnight. Next verse. When you ask, you must believe. The things that can hold us back is if we have doubt. This is one thing. The enemy will always be against you when you're praying and seeking the Lord. He'll be like, man, you're wasting your time. You ain't doing this and that. You know why he's saying that? Because his kingdom's being pushed back. Because he trembles when he sees an average Christian get on his knees. Because he knows that we have access, we have resource to the Almighty God who tore his power from him. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He destroyed his works, and when the people of God pray and seek his face, the devil's nervous. So naturally he'll be like, oh man, you shouldn't be doing that. No. Don't. You might say, well, I don't have faith, that much faith. Guess what? If you just pray and get on your knees, that's good faith right there. You might not feel like you feel the warmth of God. You might not feel just all this and that, but as you just faithfully obey God, that's faith, and God will see that. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. He rewards them. Next verse. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for. Guess who said that? That ain't a faith preacher preaching that. That's Jesus Christ's word. It would be read if we had it. If you believe, you receive whatever you ask in prayer. Next one. I love this scripture. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we what? All that we what? And what is ask? Asking continuously, seeking continuously, knocking continuously, or think according to the power that's already in us. God will give it to it as we ask. Next verse. If we remain in him and his words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. That's crazy. And the reason why we will be asking the things that are proper and right. You know, I think about Joshua when he was fighting a battle one day, and the battle was so good, he was winning so good, but he seen the sun going down. And what did he do? The Bible says he spoke to God. I think that when he spoke to God, God was like putting something stirring in his heart. And he said, man, he probably like thought in his heart, like, for real, you're putting this in my heart? Okay, I'm going to do it. Stop. Sun stop, moon stop. And guess what? It stopped till they won and conquered the battle. But he was foolish enough or crazy enough to believe in the Almighty God, and he stopped the moon and the sun. That's some bold asking, isn't it? When's the last time you just asked a bold prayer? Just said, God, I don't care. You know what? I think what we need to do is stir up our prayers. The things that we gave up on, let it come back and start praying for it and believing God. For the things, the lost ones that you've lost, the things that have taken away, go on and ask God again and he'll grant it. He said, he will grant it to you. Next verse. This is a really good scripture for us, because Jesus said this. Because before Jesus came, we didn't have the access of using his name. There's something about using his name. You know, if you're going somewhere and it's just in your name, like if you're going to a place, it's an important part, but if you got somebody else's backing name, it makes a big difference. Jesus said this, at this time you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly and he will grant you your request, because you used what? My name, in the name of Jesus. Next one. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy by using the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? We have access to the name of Jesus. I remember I was a new convert. I was probably only saved for about maybe a year. And my young daughter, and I was hoping she'd be here today, and she couldn't make it evidently yet, but hopefully I'll see her today. She lives in Denver, but she happens to be in town this week. But she was only less than 2 years old. Beautiful little girl with the little brown hair and the little dress and her cute little shoes. But she was pigeon-toed. Anybody know what pigeon-toed mean? She walked like this. And she was cute as ever, but it was like, and I thought that was kind of cute, but I was like, is she going to be that way all her life? And so what we did is we said, the Bible said that if we ask, and we ask in Jesus' name, you can have what you want and you can have abundant joy. So what I did is we sat her down, and her feet were like this, and we twisted her feet out like that and said, in Jesus' name, straighten these feet out. She got up, and guess what she did? All cute. I said, the Bible. The Bible said. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that you have joy abundantly. So we took it, we pulled her feet out again. We just, in the name of Jesus, very nice and kind, but in Jesus' name, straighten these things out. Straighten them out, Lord. You said you'd do it. So we let her walk again. That's cute, but it ain't that cute. I don't want you to be doing that when you're 30 years old. As a little girl, a little precious baby, it's beautiful. So we said, let's do it again. I don't know how many times, but several times, we said, in the name of Jesus, straighten these feet. We ask it in Jesus' name. Next time she gets down there and she starts walking, and she's like this. Hallelujah. She's walking straight. She's walking straight. She keeps on walking straight. Guess what? She never, ever again in her life that I know of, unless she was playing, went like this again. Because in Jesus' name, we have power and authority. Come on. Hallelujah. I was hoping she'd come here today so you could see her walking. She'd be like, no, she don't walk like me. I'll make her walk with me. Come on, baby, let's do it. I didn't have great faith. I wasn't a man of God for a long time. I was just a new Christian. But I was just childlike faith, believed God, believed in his word, and said, you could do this, Lord. And he did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I didn't quit. I kept on asking and keep on asking. I kept on knocking and keep on knocking. Come on. I kept seeking and keep on seeking. And God wants to do that same thing for us, because there's prayers that need to be answered. There's prayers that are going to be answered. You know that when you pray a prayer, your prayer is eternal? When I'm dead and gone, I guarantee you, my grandkids, they're going to feel the Holy Spirit. They're like, what's going on? That must be Grandpa when he prayed for us when he was alive. Because your prayers are eternal, and you don't need to be around for God to fulfill those prayers. God can answer a prayer any given day. He just, when you send those words out, they become eternal. God hears the prayer, and he acknowledges the prayer, and he activates the prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe God wants us to ask way bigger than what we've been doing. I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Sometimes our vision on what God can do is so limited by us. I'm saying, God, take away the range. Let me get you out of this little teeny box that my mind sometimes has. A lot of times we looked at God like through a keyhole of a door. You remember those old doors were like a circle with a little diamond on the bottom? It was a keyhole, and you could kind of see what's going on in the door. Sometimes us as Christians, that's the way we look through God, through a little keyhole. We're looking through just a bare glimpse of God. When God says, no, open the door, and we'll go walk right in. Come on now, open the door, and go all the way through, and trust and believe in me. Amen. Next slide. You ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Why? So you can get puffed up? Salem first could look like, oh, we got something going over here? No. Like I'm some good Christian? No. Why will he do it? He'll do it so that the Son can bring what? Glory to the Father. God wants to bring honor to himself, but we need to ask him for the inheritance, ask him for the nations, ask him for the people around us, and believe God for the unseen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. Come on now. God is a powerful God, way more powerful than our thoughts. Next verse. He said, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you and appointed you. You know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I chose the Lord. Well, did you? You mean God was honored by you choosing him? No, I don't think so. God chose us. He chose you and appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that your father will give whatever you ask for you by using my name, the power of the name of Jesus. Next slide. I'm about ready to close. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. Man, that's getting a little bigger than, Lord, will you fix the little, my ingrown toenail, please, Jesus? Yeah, it says ask for the nations. Ask for an inheritance. Ask to make a difference on the earth. because I'm a big God. Yeah, I do little things, but I do amazing, great things. I'm the Lord God, I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. I don't care how much we think we can put him down. You can't put God down because God is greater. Next slide. This is a great scripture right here, and this is what I want us to believe God for. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am ready to hear Israel. You know who's Israel now? Us, not only Israel the natural, but we as Christians become Israel, God's people. He says, I'm ready to hear Israel's prayer. He's ready. I'm listening. I want to hear your prayer. Where? I'm ready. I'm doing my part. I'm a mighty God. I can change things. I'm ready to hear the prayer. And what am I going to do? Increase their numbers like a flock. Come on. Increase our numbers like a flock. Next verse. They will be so numerous as that the sacred flock that fills Jerusalem's streets at the time of the festival. It's like a stampede almost. The ruins of the city will be crowded with people once more. And guess what happens again? Everybody will know it's the Lord. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants us to ask. God wants us to seek. God wants us to knock. And I believe as we do that, we will make a difference. It's not about programs. It's not about organization. It's not about vision. It's about God blessing and pouring his spirit upon us. How many want that? Come on. Say, God draws. God draws. And he will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He said, my arm is not short where I cannot save. My ears are not plugged up where I cannot hear. I am not disabled, but I'm waiting and ready to hear us cry out to him, to hear us seek him. David said, seek the Lord, seek his strength evermore. It's not a one-time thing. It's like God put a hunger and a thirst in my heart that I will seek you daily, that I'll give you the honor and the respect that you deserve. Father God, I just thank you for. I thank you for Salem First. I believe that we're at a strategic point. Sometimes things have to look dimmer before things get brighter. I believe, God, that you have us walking in a place, in an area, in the history of this church. It's a point where we could be turned and go totally, completely off the charts for the kingdom of God. Or it's a point where we could say, I don't care what God says. I don't care what he wants me to do. I just want to live my own simple little life. And we could change the destiny of this community. I pray, God, that you would make us, give us a heart hungry and thirsty after you. A heart that wants to see your kingdom. You told us to pray the Lord's Prayer. You said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Salem as it is in heaven. In Salem as it is in heaven. In Salem as it is in heaven. That's your will, Father. I thank you, Father. Draw us. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you that you want to hear us. And we cry out to you today. Father, touch every heart in here. Touch every life in here. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I would like to make an invitation, not for salvation. If you need salvation, come up and we'll pray for you. But we're going to make an invitation for if you want to be a member of this church, you want to not just sit in the pew, but you want to be a part of this body and you want to make a membership covenant. We're going to have membership classes the first Sunday of every month. We'll provide lunch. It'll be after the service. It'll be a 3-hour class. But if you want to become a member in this church and be committed to this church, this community, let me tell you something. This church is not a perfect church. Is that a new news or what? It definitely wasn't perfect when they hired me. Yep. Everybody's in their head. Yeah, that's right, Pastor Andrew. And guess what? It definitely wasn't perfect when they made some of you members. But it's a body. We want to be committed to each other. We don't want to just sit around and just talk about it. We want to love on each other, share, and be kind and build up the kingdom of God. So what I want to do is if you're interested in becoming a member of this church, I'd like for you to come up. Right now, we're going to get your name. My wife will get your name and stuff, but we're going to pray for you, too. If you want to become a member of this church, it'll be May. The first week of May will be the first class. So if you want to come up, come on up. Some of you are already members, but if you want to become a member. All right, David, get our youth leader, man. He needs to be a member, don't he? I see Zach. You're Zach, too, man. All right, we got Mendoza. We got this bro. Come on, man. This guy's making the breakthrough, man. Come on. Come on. Huh? Right there, the pins right over there against there. Sorry, babe. Anybody else? It's the open invitation to become members of Salem First Free Methodist Church. Hallelujah. I want everybody to reach your hands towards these people. And we're going to pray for them, and we're just going to get their information, and we're going to encourage them and bless them as they become part of our body. They're already part of the body, but it's just a covenant membership with us. Father, we just thank you for these people here right now. We pray that you will not only touch their lives today, that you will, Father, let them get rooted and grounded in you. You said whoever plants himself in the house of the Lord shall flourish as a branch, and when they're old, they will bring forth fruit. So touch these brothers and these sisters. Thank you so much for their heart ready to come and be a member. We praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be released. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.